You are now listening to Jess is Lit on CITR 101.1 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Welcome to Jess is Lit. I hope everybody is doing well. I hope all students are doing good during the reading break. I know it's a week off of school, and so I hope everyone catches up on their work and spend time with their families. It's been gloomy today, and so I hope everyone's also warm and cozy, and let's also hope for a better time with the weather. Today's an exciting day. We'll be diving into some poetry again, as always. Emily Dickinson would be the main for today. I'm not sure if you people know who she is, but she's one of the most famous poets of all time throughout history. And so I'll be just running a quick bio check on her for the first part. And then for the whole remainder of the show, I'll just be reading her poems and just letting you people hear how her poem sounds. And, you know, it's going to be a journey to see different sorts of poetry and the ways of conveying messages. And so, yeah, it'll be a fun day. So let's get right into it. Emily Dickinson is a poet. She was one of the most recognized and famous poets of all time. One of America's greatest and one of the most original poets. Quote-unquote from Poetry Foundation, she took definition as her province and challenged the existing definitions of poetry and the poet's work. Like writers such as Ralph Waldo Emerson, Henry David Thoreau, and Walt Whitman, she experimented with expression in order to free it from conventional restraints. And like writers such as Charlotte Bronte and Elizabeth Barrett Browning, she crafted a new type of persona for the first person. Now, if you read a lot of her poems, you could see a little bit of her style of writing, which is really compelling and great. She uses metaphors like no other. The way she conveys her messages using the different metaphors, similes, and wordplays is beyond comprehension. It's really interesting to see. And she is definitely one of my most favorite figures in the realms of poetry. Although her publications, by the way, she wrote more than 1,000 poems, which is completely bedazzling, and just shows you how passionate she was with poetry. Although her poems were, I believe, published a long time after her death, but now her works are known to be one of the greatest and respected. And so let's dive right into a book that I came across that consisted of almost all of her poems. It's from the Global Grey eBooks. I was just browsing through her poem collections, PDFs on the internet, and found quote-unquote the complete works by the Global Grey eBooks. And so this book definitely had many, many, many poems from Emily Dickinson. And so today I'll just be reading you guys all of the poems as time goes. And so here we go. Number one, we'll start off by the poem called Awake, Ye Muses Nine, Sing Me a Strain Divine. Awake ye Muses Nine, sing me a strain divine. Unwind the solemn twine and tie my valentine. Oh, the earth was made for lovers, for damsel and hopeless swain, for sighing and gentle whispering, and unity made of twain. All things do go according, in earth or sea or air. God hath made nothing single but thee in his world so fair. The bride and then the bridegroom, the two and then the one, Adam and Eve, his consort, the moon, and then the sun. The life doth prove the precept, who obeys shall happy be. Who will not serve the sovereign, be hanged on a fatal tree? The high do seek the lowly, the great do seek the small. None cannot find who seeketh on this terrestrial ball. The bee doth court the flower his suit receives. And they make merry wedding, whose guests are 100 leaves. The wind doth woo the branches they are won. And the father fawn demandeth the maiden for a son. The storm doth walk the seashore, humming a mournful tune. The wave with eye so pensive looketh to see the moon. Their spirits meet together, they make their solemn vows. No more he singeth mournful, her sadness she doth lose. The worm doth woo the mortal, death claims a living bride. Night unto day is married, morn into eventide. Earth is a merry damsel, and heaven a knight so true, and earth is quite coquettish, and besemeth in vain to sue. Now to the application, to the reading of the roll, to bringing thee to justice and marshalling thy soul. Thou art a human solo, a being cold and lone, wilt have no kind companion, thou reapest what thou hast shown. Hast never silent hours and minutes all too long, and a deal of sad reflection and wailing instead of song. There's Sarah and Eliza and Emmeline, so fair, and Harriet and Susan, and she with curling hair. Thine eyes are sadly blinded, but yet thou mayest see 6 true and comely maidens sitting upon the tree. Approach that tree with caution, then up it boldly climb, and seize the one thou lovest, nor care for space or time. Then bear her to the greenwood, and build for her a bower, and give her what she asketh, jewel or bird or flower. And bring the fife and trumpet, and beat upon the drum, and bid the world good morrow, and go to glory home. Now that was Awake Ye Muses Nine, Sing Me a Strain Divine. A great poem. Obviously, it would take time to dissect this whole poem, and so that would be for another time. But as you read this, I assume that the readers will notice a lot of wordplay going on throughout the poem. She uses great rhyme schemes, and just the word choices that she uses, the synonyms that she uses to express a certain emotion or situation, is just it just fits really well with the whole start to finish, and just it's just amazing of how good the poem is, just in general itself. But yeah, definitely the rhyme schemes comes into play here, and the way she expresses her own emotions through experiences and imagery is compelling to see. Now, Emily Dickinson also has a lot of short poems, and so those also would be good to read, especially for just the average reader who wants to get into her poems. She has a lot of short poems that are just, I guess, concrete with deep meaning, but it really depends on the reader and how he or she interprets it. And so I think that her poems are very easily accessible and easily reachable and also easily analyzable, if that's even a word. And so let's move on to number 2. There is Another Sky. And in this poem, another is italicized, and here is also italicized. Brighter is italicized, my is italicized. And so when you guys are reading it, try and keep that in mind, and I guess try and see the significance of those lines, of those words. There's another sky. There is another sky, ever serene and fair. And there is another sunshine, though it be darkness there. Never mind faded forests, Austin. Never mind silent fields. Here is a little forest, whose leaf is evergreen. Here is a brighter garden, where not a frost has been. In its unfading flowers, I hear the bright bee hum. Prithee, my brother, into my garden come. That was There's Another Sky. I really, really like this poem. And looking at the italicized words, I think it just gives meaning to the poem in relation to looking forward for another future, envisioning a different world that seems like a utopia in Dickinson's view. And I believe Austin was her brother. I'm not sure quite yet. It's not coming into my mind yet, but I do believe that she is talking to somebody named Austin and is, oh, right. It says it's her brother. It's her brother. The second to last line, prithee, my brother. I think that she is conveying the message that she is envisioning a different another. And the another could be implied as a new world where nature would take place and manifest the beauties of nature, little forests, leaves, greenness, brighter. And so I think this is a really beautiful poem that really gives us hope and anticipates hope for a better future. And so a lot of these poems that Dickinson writes, they're fun to read because of the rhyme play, the rhyme scheme. And if you think about it again, after reading and you read it over and over again, unlike other poets, although there are poets that do the same thing or that give you the same emotion, her poem, especially for me, it's really fun to read. And so I recommend everybody to read her poems because you will enjoy it the more you read it. And the interpretations that you come up with every word and every sentence you read with her poems, it stays concrete, but at the same time, it also differs. And I think that intertwining of realization is really fun. And obviously her wordplay is also really enjoyable. And so let's move right on. The next poem is called On This Wondrous Sea. Right, comrade, right. On this wondrous sea, sailing silently, ho, pilot, ho. Knowest thou the shore, where no breakers roar, where the storm is o'er? In the peaceful west, many the sails at rest, the anchors fast, thither I pilot thee. Land, ho, eternity, ashore at last. Now, this is also a very short poem, but when we analyze it, I think, you know, you could easily write an essay on this. Just the wordplay and the rhyme scheme, as usual. I believe that this poem is advocating for liberation, a destination to peace. Just a very positive poem overall. And I just liked how she used the whole comrade ships sailing in the sea, wondrous sea, because the sea is so vast and so big. But I just really liked how she put the sea as a wondrous sea. And I guess in the peaceful west, she was envisioning a peaceful west, as in like the western part of the world where she was from. And so, yeah, good poem. The next one is I Have a Bird in Spring. I have a bird in spring, which for myself doth sing. The spring decoys, and as the summer nears, and as the rose appears, Robin is gone. Yet do I not repine, knowing that bird of mine, though flown, learneth beyond the sea. Melody new for me, and will return. Fast and safer hand, held in a truer land, are men, and though they now depart, tell I my doubting heart, they're thine. In a serener bright, in a more golden light, I see each little doubt and fear, each little discord here removed. Then will I not repine, knowing that bird of mine, though flown. Shall in distant tree, bright melody for me, return. Now, I've never read this poem before. It was my first time reading it. But if I were to analyze this poem just by reading what I just did right now, I can see that she, a bird, the bird that she is explaining, I think, is a metaphor. And I think it could be a metaphor for many things. But in this case, I might be wrong. I definitely do need to read this over and over again and just do a deeper, close reading. But the bird, I think, can be defined as her state of emotion. In this case, it starts off as, I'm not sure what Robin, who Robin is, or a Robin could also be the bird Robin. But to me, I can see that the bird that she's explaining, just by the processes and just the conflict and resolution and the whole thing that the bird goes through, or she explains, the bird kind of starts off as chaotic, uncertain, a bit melancholy, a little unsure of how things are or what to do. And then it kind of transitions into a more serene or bright, quote unquote, in a more golden light. Each little doubt and fear, each little discord here removed. And so this poem can be seen as a, as the journey of the realization of self. And this is what Emily Dickinson was also really famous for. Her poems consisted of a lot of notions that had to deal with self-realization, you know, death, love, all those deep philosophical meanings. And so just by reading this poem for the first time, I think it's conveying the message of the realization of self-overcoming, self-realization, and the problematic life that your own emotions can give you. And so again, this poem is very deep, and I like how it ends in a very, very happy manner. Shall in distant tree, bright melody for me, return. And so the last line where it just has return, period, I think that can also demonstrate the ongoing chaoticness of life and emotions, how it can, you know, start off low, but end up great. You know, everything's going well for you. You're shining the light, the golden light, bright melodies for you all the time. And then boom, return. Return back to the melancholy, uncertainty of who you are, what you are doing, why you are here. And so just the ongoing struggle of self-realization, I think, is present in this poem. And so another great poem. The next one would be Frequently the Woods Are Pink. So here we go. This is also a poem I've never read before, but seems cool. Let's give it a go. Frequently the woods are pink, frequently are brown, frequently the hills undress behind my native town. Oft a head is crested, I was wont to see, and as oft a cranny where it used to be. And the earth, they tell me, on its axis turned, wonderful rotation, but by 12 performed. Great rhyme scheme again. I'm not really sure what this poem is definitively implying, but it was just, it was a cool poem to read. I'm definitely going to give this an analysis later on. The next one is called The Feet of People Walking Home. The feet of people walking home with gayer sandals go, the crocus till she rises, the vassal of the snow. The lips of hallelujah, long years of practice bore, till by and by these bargemen walked, singing on the shore. Pearls are the divers' farthings, extorted form the sea, pinions the seraph's wagon, pedestrian once as we. Night is the morning's canvas, larceny legacy, death but our rabid attention to immortality. My figures fail to tell me how far the village lies, whose peasants are the angels, whose cantons don't the sky. My classics veil their faces, my faith that dark adores, which from its solemn abyss such resurrection pours. Now that was also one of her great poems. Let's go another. This poem is called There Is a Word. There is a word which bears a sword, can pierce an armed man. It hurls its barbed syllables and is mute again. But where it fell, the saved will tell. On patriotic day, some appallated brother gave his breath away. Wherever runs the breathless sun, wherever roams the day, there is its noiseless onset, there is its victory. Behold the keenest marksman, the most accomplished host, time's sublimest target, is a soul forgot. The next poem would be called My Wheels Is in the Dark. My wheel is in the dark, I cannot see a spoke, yet know its dripping feet go round and round. My foot is on the tide, an unfrequented road, yet have all roads a clearing at the end. Some have resigned the loom, some in the busy tomb find quaint employ. Some with new, stately feet pass royal through the gate, flinging the problem back at you and I. Next poem is called I Never Told the Buried Gold. I never told the buried gold upon the hill that lies, I saw the sun, his plunder done, crouch low to guard his prize. He stood as near as stood you here, a pace had been between, but did a snake bisect the great break, my life had forfeit been. That was a wondrous booty, I hope 'twas honest gained, those were the fairest ingots that ever kissed the spade. Whether to keep the secret, whether to reveal, whether while I ponder, kid may sudden sail. Could a shrewd advise me, we might end divide. Should a shrewd betray me, Atropos decide. The next one would be, The Morns Are Meeker Than They Were. The morns are meeker than they were. The nuts are getting brown. The berry's cheek is plumper, the rose is out of town. The maple wears a gayer scarf, the field a scarlet gown. Lest I should seem old-fashioned, I'll put a trinket on. This is a nice poem, actually. I loved how she compared all the emotions and the physical attributes of, you know, the nuts, the berries, the roses, and compared them with out of town, plumper, getting brown. Which is a literal sense of comparison, but this was a cool poem to read. Sleep is supposed to be, it would be the next poem. Sleep is supposed to be, by souls of sanity, the shutting of the eye. Sleep is the station grand, down which on either hand, the hosts of witness stand. Morn is supposed to be, by people of degree, the breaking of the day. Morning has not occurred, that shall aurora be east of eternity, one with the banner gay, one in the red array. That is the break of day. The next poem is The Guest is Gold and Crimson. The guest is gold and crimson, an opal guest in gray, of ermine in its doublet, his capuchin gay. He reaches town at nightfall, he stops at every door, who looks for him at morning, I pray to him, to explore the lark's pure test territory, or the lapwing's shore. The next poem is Baffled for Just a Day or Two. Baffled for just a day or two, embarrassed, not afraid, encounter in my garden an unexpected maid. She beckons, and the woods start, she nods, and all begin. Surely, such a country I was never in. The next one is The Gentian Weaves Her Fringes. The gentian weaves her fringes, the maple's loom is red, my departing blossoms obviate parade. A brief but patient illness, an hour to prepare, and one below this morning is where the angels are. It was a short procession, the bobolink was there, an aged bee addressed us, and then we knelt in prayer. We trust that she was willing, we ask that she may be. Summer, sister, seraph, let us go with thee. In the name of the bee, and of the butterfly, and of the breeze, amen. Emily Dickinson does a really great job again, and she loves to compare nature with real life situations, and she loves to compare nature and just the naturalness of nature with human-made objects. And when you hear those things, it makes you think again. And it also makes you compare those two objects or things or people or animals. It gets you thinking about why she may have done that in the first place. And just reading her poems really allows you to think deeply in terms of the meanings of each word. And that's also one of the great reasons why she's known to be one of the greatest. The next poem is All These My Banners Be. All these my banners be, I sow my pagan tree. In May, it rises train by train, then sleeps in state again. My chancel, all the plain today. To lose, if one can find again. To miss, if one shall meet. The burglar cannot rob, then. The broker cannot cheat. So build the hillocks gaily, though little spade of mine, leaving nooks for daisy and for columbine. You and I the secret of the crocus know. Let us chant it softly. There is no more snow. To him who keeps an orchard's heart, the swamps are pink with June. Now, before we move on to more poems from Emily Dickinson, I'll just play some ads, some show promos, and some PSAs, and we will be right back after the break.
Mark your calendar for February 29th, 2024, because the Study and Go Abroad Fair is coming to Vancouver at the Vancouver Convention Center. Don't miss this free opportunity to start planning your next step in education at the undergraduate or postgraduate level, or to travel abroad. Meet with top universities, graduate schools, and professional schools from Canada and around the world to learn about the university and college programs on offer, scholarships, as well as travel, work, and volunteer opportunities worldwide. To learn more or to register for free, please visit studyandgoabroad.com and join us February 29th at the Vancouver Convention Center.
This is a journey into sound.
Gotta have house music. Hi, this is DJ Wah, inviting you to join me every second Sunday at 8 p.m. here on 101.9 CITR for Techno Progressivo. You in my head now.
My life. This is the house that funk built. This is the house that funk built.
Techno Progressivo is the only radio show in Vancouver where you'll hear the best mix of new tech house, techno, and progressive house.
A body thing. A...
So join me every second Sunday at 8 p.m. for Techno Progressivo.
House music. House music.
F7 Entertainment presents hardcore punk band Military Gun, performing cuts from their critically acclaimed album Life Under the Gun in Vancouver on Friday, March 8th at the Rickshaw Theater. Catch them in Vancouver before their upcoming performances at Bonnaroo and Coachella this year. Tickets on sale now at f7entertainment.com.
The Evelyn Saller Center is recruiting volunteers to help design and implement relief initiatives for the downtown Eastside community. If you're looking to get experience relevant to your area of study while helping to support the homeless population of Vancouver, email us at esc.volunteerprogram@vancouver.ca or find our page on the City of Vancouver website under Evelyn Saller Center. Positions are flexible and designed to be convenient to students. Those with an interest in health, communications, or psychology are encouraged to apply.
Welcome back to Jess is Lit. You guys just heard some show promos, PSAs, and some ads. Let's get right back into some poems from Emily Dickinson. Let's go. So a lot of her poems consists of the notions of life and just self-realization and just the beauties of nature. But she also has some poems that deal with vulnerability and resilience. And so here is a poem that greatly describes that and just great uses of metaphors as well to convey the message of those concepts. And this poem is called Adrift. A little boat adrift. Adrift, a little boat adrift, and night is coming down. Will no one guide a little boat unto the nearest town? So sailors say, on yesterday, just as the dusk was brown, one little boat gave up its strife and gurgled down and down. So angels say, on yesterday, just as the dawn was red, one little boat, O serpents, O earth spent with gales, retrimmed its masks, redecked its sails, and shot exultant on. Now you could see the vivid imagery and the symbolic language she uses to capture the emotional journey through the metaphorical sense of the boat navigating the challenges of the sea. The poem describes uncertainty, and it's really a journey of surrendering, and a triumphant resurgence. And I love how she compared this whole journey of these concepts with adrift, little boat adrift, because if you think of a sea and a little boat on a sea, in the sea, You can kind of picture your mind, picture in your mind the turbulence and the uncertainty and the vulnerability that you acquire with a little boat in the sea, which is very dangerous and arbitrary in ways of the different ways of conflicts and problems. And so this was a really cool poem. The next poem is Summer for Thee, Grant I May Be. Summer for Thee, Grant I May Be, when summer days are flown, thy music still, when whippoorwill and oriole are done. For thee to bloom, I'll skip the tomb, and row my blossoms o'er, pray gather me, anemone, thy flower forevermore. This poem is called When Roses Cease to Bloom, Sir. When roses cease to bloom, sir, and violets are done, when bumblebees in solemn flight have passed beyond the sun, the hand that paused to gather upon the summer's day will idle lie in Auburn, then take my flowers, pray. This is a really deep poem. I, again, have never read this poem until now, but I think she is talking to either her lover or somebody who, a man who she deeply cares for. And when roses cease to bloom, I could see that as when she reaches the end of her life or someone's life. Upon the summer's day, then take my flowers and pray. You know what? This poem can actually mean her poetry that she gathered. This is obviously just a guess. But to me, then take my flowers and pray on the last line can kind of mean that if she, you know, leaves Earth, then take my flowers, as in then take my works and pray and let it out for the world. You know, I think when she was, you know, living as a poet, I believe that she encountered a lot of inequalities and a lot of people didn't respect her work. And so all of that emotion inside her, I think, could have been the case with this poem, if my interpretation is correct or somewhat correct. But you see what I mean? People, when you read her poems, you think a lot, and it allows you, it forces you to think about different possibilities and different ways of interpretation, which I find extremely fun. And so although my interpretations may not be correct, it got me thinking. And that, I think, is really important when reading poetry, coming up with your own interpretations and being able to provide, you know, reasons why. And so, again, this poem is really short, but gets you thinking. The next one is if recollecting were forgetting. Oh, if remembering were forgetting, then I remember not. And if forgetting, recollecting, how near I had forgot. And if to miss were merry, and to mourn were gay, how very bleath the maiden who gathered these today. Another short piece, but I think she is trying to compare the definitions and notions of recollecting and forgetting. And so she explains how if remembering is equivalent to forgetting, then I will remember not. And so this is also a very interesting poem. And if forgetting, quote unquote, recollecting, how near I had forgot. So I think she's trying to convey the message of the importance of both recollecting and forgetting. I think that she is trying to say that both the notions of recollecting and forgetting are in its own ways very important, but they cannot be together. And I like how she compared these definitions with, you know, and to mourn, if to mourn were gay, if to mourn, if mourning was happiness, or if mourn was a happy thing, you know, how does it make sense? And if to miss somebody was a happy thing, how that also wouldn't really make sense. And so she's definitely trying to divide these two notions of recollecting and forgetting and conveying the message to us that both concepts are in its own ways very important, but they are definitely objectively different from each other. The next poem is Nobody Knows This Little Rose. Nobody knows this little rose. It might a pilgrim be. Did I not take it from the ways and lift it up to thee? Only a bee will miss it, only a butterfly, hastening from far journey on its breast to lie. Only a bird will wander, only a breeze will sigh. Ah, little rose, how easy for such as thee to die. Next poem, Snowflakes. Snowflakes, I counted till they danced so, their slippers leaped the town, and then I took a pencil to note the rebels down. And then they grew so jolly, I did resign the prig, and 10 of my once stately toes are marshalled for a jig. The next poem is Before the Ice is in the Pools. Before the ice is in the pools, before the skaters go, or any check at nightfall is tarnished by the snow. Before the fields have finished, before the Christmas tree, wonder upon wonder will arrive to me. What we touch the hems on a summer's day, what is only walking, just a bridge away, that which sings so, speaks so. When there's no one here, will the frock I wept in answer me to wear? It Did Not Surprise Me is the next poem. It did not surprise me, so I said or thought, she will stir her pinions, and the nest forgot. Traverse broader forests, build in gayer boughs, breathe an ear more modern, God's old-fashioned vows. This was but a birdling. What, and if it be, one within my bosom had departed me. This was but a story. What, and if indeed, there were just such coffin in the heart instead. The next one is When I Count the Seeds. When I count the seeds that are sown beneath to bloom so by and by, when I con the people lain so low to be received as high, when I believe the garden mortal shall not see, pick by faith its blossom and avoid its bee, I can spare the summer unreluctantly. Could Live, Did Live is the next poem. Could live, did live. Could die, did die. Could smile upon the whole, through faith in one he met not, to introduce his soul. Could go from scene familiar to an untraversed spot. Could contemplate the journey with unpuzzled heart. Such trust had one among us not today. We who saw the launching never sailed the bay. There is something quieter than sleep. There is something quieter. This is the next poem. There is something quieter than sleep within this inner room. It wears a sprig upon its breast and will not tell its name. Some touch it, and some kiss it, some chafe its idled hand. It has a simple gravity I do not understand. I would not weep if I were they. How rude in one to sob. Might scare the quiet fairy back to her native wood. While simple-hearted neighbors chat of the early dead, we, prone to periphrasis, remark the birds have fled. The next one is I Keep My Pledge. I keep my pledge. I was not called. Death did not notice me. I bring my rose. I plight again. By every sainted bee, by daisy called from hillside, by bobolink from lane, blossom and I, her oath and mine, we surely come again. Once More, My Now Bewildered Dove is the title of the next poem. Once more, my now bewildered dove besters her puzzled wings. Once more her mistress on the deep her troubled question flings. Thrice to the floating casement the patriarch's bird returned. Courage, my brave Columbia, there may yet be land. I never lost as much, but twice, is the next poem. I never lost as much, but twice, and that was in the sod. Twice have I stood a beggar before the door of God. Angels, twice descending, reimbursed my store. Burglar, banker, father, I am poor once more. I often passed the village is the next poem I will read. Again, to mention, the rhyme schemes that she does in her poems is so good. I just don't know how she did this, but definitely an inspiration to a lot of poets. To me as well. I love poetry, and just seeing her works, it just leaves me speechless all the time because of the great ways of imagery, you know, metaphorical wordplay, rhyme schemes, just so good. And so, yeah, I often pass the village. I often pass the village when going home from school and wondered why they did there and why it was so still. I did not know the year then in which my call would come, earlier by the dial than the rest have gone. It's stiller than the sundown, it's cooler than the dawn. The daisies dare to come here and birds can flutter down. So when you are tired or perplexed or cold, trust the loving promise underneath the mold. Cry, it is I, take Dolly, and I will unfold. Now this poem, I think, really emphasizes the notion of hope, how hope can be manifested through the ways you think and the mindset you have. It's cool to see how she explained how, I guess, she was visiting a village when coming home from school and just wondered why it was so dark and so gloomy in a metaphorical sense. But it's stiller than sundown is what she said. All the birds can flutter down. So when you feel tired, perplexed, cold, in like a very melancholy sense, trust the loving promise underneath the mold. Trust the promise that you have made to yourself that everything will work out well. And cry, it is I, take Dolly, and I will unfold. A good positive poem, I think, and cool to read and fun to read. The next poem would be Taken from Men This Morning. Taken from men this morning, carried by men today, met by the gods with banners who marshaled her way. One little maid from playmates, one little mind from school. There must be guests in Eden, all the rooms are full. Far as the east from even, dim as the border star, courtiers quaint in kingdoms our departed are. Now this is the next poem. It's called If I Should Die. If I should die and you should live, and time should gurgle on, and morn should beam, and noon should burn, as it has usually done, if birds should build as early, and bees as bustling go, one might depart at option from enterprise below. 'Tis sweet to know that stocks will stand when we with daisies lie, that commerce will continue, and trades as briskly fly. It makes the parting tranquil and keeps the soul serene, that gentlemen so sprightly conduct the pleasing scene. Now for today's last poem, we'll read Delayed Till She Had Ceased to Know. Delayed till she had ceased to know, delayed till in its vest of snow, her loving bosom lay an hour behind the fleeting breath. Later by just an hour that death, than death, oh, lagging yesterday. Could she have guessed that it would be, could but a crier of the joy have climbed the distant hill, had not the bliss so slow a pace, who knows but this surrendered face were undefeated still. Oh, if there may departing be any forgot by victory in her imperial round, show them this meek apparelled thing that could not stop to be a king, doubtful if it be crowned. Now, that was just a small portion of all of Emily Dickinson's work, but I encourage everybody to give it a go, give it a read. They are really fun, filled with energy, filled with good information, and filled with deep philosophical thoughts. And so especially to people who are really into deep thinking, I definitely encourage this poet, Emily Dickinson, go, her poems. And yeah, I think today we'll end off here. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Jess's Lit. I will come back in 2 weeks with more poems and poetry. I hope everyone has a good reading break, all students. I hope everybody has a good night. Stay safe on the roads. Stay warm because it's rainy outside again. But yeah, I will see you again soon. Thank you all for tuning in. Goodbye. My stock's up, check my NASDAQ too. Got plans later, I promise I come through.